Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Content with a cause. That's the game independent programmer Paizetta Media plays using a quintet of channels running through smart TV products and multi-channel bundles. Overseers Michael and Jen Danzetta join me next. An Iron Chef, the top dog of cooking series as both sport and pageantry, is back today on Netflix. We'll toast the return later this hour with executive producers Eitan Keller and Daniel Kalin. Also ahead, Samurai Jack's creator stays at Warner Bros. Discovery, our new classic trivia question, 2 prized in play, and how to raise the Tony Awards national appeal. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio. I present on Acast, Verbal, Reason, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com. The leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the hour. Great to have you with us on this Eyes of June. That's June 15th, Wednesday. To you, you, and especially you, we welcome all of you to the program about TV's current and future. We have a great hour-plus program in store for you. It's all unscripted and involves you as well. So pick up the phone and dial in anytime you like with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. And for our first half hour, if we have any first responders, emergency workers, people of that caliber out there, we'd love to hear what you think about our first subject. So give us that call, use that number, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Ditto all the Iron Chef fans in our second half hour. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuning screen. Follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. 78 degrees at the top of the hour on this Wednesday afternoon here in the Big Apple. And we will have Michael and Jen Vanzetta from Paizetta Media joining us live from Manassas, Virginia, after these news notes. Top TV series tune maker Jendy Tarkovsky will stay put at Warner Bros. Discovery. The creator of Samurai Jack, Primal, and Dexter's Laboratory is concentrating his TV focus on new projects with Warner Bros. Animation and Cartoon Network Studios. The projects will involve both new concepts and adaptations of existing Warner and Cartoon Network content. Tarkovsky's near-term agenda involves season 2 of Primal on Adult Swim this summer, followed by the debut of the first HBO Max miniseries, Unicorn Warriors Eternal. Plenty of Apple TV developments in play this afternoon. Billy Crystal, currently on Broadway with a musical version of Mr. Saturday Night, the musical and his performance were nominated for Tony Awards over the weekend, will participate in upcoming miniseries Before as star and executive producer. He'll play a child psychiatrist out to break through with a troubled boy. Another Apple TV Plus miniseries, 5 Days at Memorial, from John Ridley and Carlton Cuse, is set to premiere August 12th. Also happening this August, Bad Sisters with Sharon Horgan aboard as star creator executive producer. This is the first of a first-look deal that she has with Apple TV Plus. And in the last half hour, we learned that Swagger, the youth basketball drama executive produced by next superstar Kevin Durant, will be back for a second season. We had Terrence Blanchard, the composer of the series, a week ago Monday. When we had him on, he said, we asked him if Swagger goes to a second season, will he be back? Yes, he will. If you haven't heard that interview, you can at blogtalkradio.com/televised, our website, and our podcast site. Now, quickies, Paramount Plus will proceed and produce School Spirits, adapting an upcoming graphic novel set between Earth and the afterlife. Peyton List will star. Scripps Network's National Spelling Bee final simulcast drew 3.7 million viewers on June 2nd. ION Television, Bounce TV, Laff, and True Real, the last two multicast channels, carried the event, which ESPN presented until the coronavirus pandemic outbreak 2 years ago. Harmonious Live, an Epcot fashion concert, will go live on Disney Plus June 21st. Idina Menzel gets the host honors. The long-awaited original Sin sequel to Pretty Little Liars arrives July 28th on HBO Max. And Q Code podcast Last Known Position, dealing with an investigation of an airplane disappearance over the Pacific Ocean, will be turned into an Amazon Prime Video series with Gina Rodriguez as star and executive producer. And that is news notes for today. A few years ago, we introduced you to a very unusual company called Jukin Media and the suite of channels that they were doing. User-generated content, all unscripted, under the titles The Pet Collective and other such services. Well, it turned out to be quite a hit and quite a favorite with advertisers, so much so that some time back was bought by another company, Trusted Media Brands, and now Jukin is not only creating more channels, for smart TV sets and devices, they are also creating original series adapted from their user-generated content. Our first guests today are husband and wife entrepreneurs, and they come up with another very unusual unscripted set of channels. The channels are known as Valor TV, Health 24/7, Frontliners TV, Dispatch Network, and Zoo Animal Antics. And four of the five deal with a group of people that you want to know more about because they got us through this coronavirus pandemic and still are, first responders, emergency personnel, and so on. Joining us live from Manassas, Virginia, the husband and wife team behind Pazetta Media, Michael and Jen Pazetta. Michael and Jen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It is a pleasure. And Michael, we'll start with you. How long have these services been up, and what's been the viewer reaction to them?
So the first two channels, Frontliners TV and Zoo Animal Antics, have been around since November of 2021. And since then, we've had a lot of growth in a lot more different platforms. We're now reaching about 11 platforms and then just continue to grow that way. And the stuff that, I mean, I've talked to a lot of either nonprofits or hospital workers, firefighters, and they're really excited that they get to share their voice and they're really on board with our message already.
Jen, what inspired these services?
Well, I think it goes back to our family and our friends and just really going through this pandemic. We really saw that this world rotated around people helping other people, whether it was doctors, nurses, policemen, firefighters. I mean, they didn't get a day off. They didn't work from home and, you know, teachers were working on Zoom. And so it was just kind of this thought that we had is like, we want to hear more about these people. They're now in our eyes and we're hearing about them. Why hadn't we heard about them for so long? And we really wanted to give them a voice to share and to show us what they do day to day and how they help and, you know, just let a window into their lives and help, you know, build some, I guess, empathy in this world a little bit more than we have sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Michael, how forthcoming were these officials in giving you footage, film or videotape, to use and then arrange it in channel form?
They actually were really good because a lot of them create their own content already on YouTube, and they, you know, they're just looking for exposure, and that's what we want to give them. So they have a lot of small pieces of footage. So with my experience of being in broadcast industry, I created half-hour shows out of that, and I also put a QR code on them so people can link back to their website. So not only, you know, they're letting us use their content, but we're trying to get them as much exposure as possible.
And that's where our content with a cause really came from. You know, we just didn't want to share their content. We wanted to share content that meant something, but also to help them get some financial support or just emotional and support, you know, just to kind of give back to their cause.
Mm-hmm. So how do you arrange the half hours? Do you sort of do it in like a newswheel type approach that Headline News used to do for so long? Or what is the trick to putting these half hours and then these channels together?
I do it similar to more of the news magazine style of, you know, the top shows and the similarities of each piece and then, you know, commercial break and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of shows like 60 Minutes, Sunday Morning on CBS, and I like creating things similar to that, and that's kind of the model I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Bill of Cable just joined our chat room. Thanks for coming along. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or go and phone us in, 646-652-2906. Love to hear from you. And again, if we have any first responders, emergency workers, et cetera, they're listening to us right now, we want to hear from you. So give us that call, 646-652-2906, or get into the chat room, get your thoughts in. Soon you do, soon you make contact with us. Jen, break down these individual channels. What is Valor TV all about, Health 24/7, and so on and so forth?
All right, so we have Health 24/7. Well, really, if I'm going to start with the Frontliners. Our Frontliners channel is really the bulk of the three other channels. So with Frontliners, we have our major content, all of the different. But then when you break that down, we have health, which is really dealing with our medical professionals. So our doctors, our nurses, some EMTs. Then we have our Valor, which is dealing with our military, which is a huge frontliner. And then we have our
dispatch network,
which really kind of goes more with that, our firefighters and police. So those three, we were able to get more niche and specific. But then if you really want to kind of learn about all of them, then you can watch that Frontliners TV. And then our Zoo Animal Antics is really looking at, you know, a lot of people think, oh, just funny animal videos. But really what we're putting up there is some cool, you know, animals doing amazing things. I'm not going to lie. But we also really love learning about the background of the zoos and the animal rescues and learning how they take care of these animals, you know, that that we really find joy in and that bring a lot of people some knowledge and education. You know, I'm a teacher and I love that we can have students learn more about what zoologists do and the background support of those rescues and things. So that's kind of a breakdown of our five channels. And we do videos that they've created, but we've also been starting to interview people. So it's really a nice way to us to ask them some questions, but also to get their user-generated content too. So yeah, those are our five channels, and we're excited about them, but always thinking of new ones to add to our group, which we hope to have, you know, down the road. But we really want to get these out there for the people to see and watch.
And those five channels are available on many smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and multi-channel bundles. And we are speaking live from Manassas, Virginia, with the husband and wife entrepreneur team behind Pivetta Media and these services. That's Michael and Jen Vanzetta. They're joining us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we're happy you're joining us live, too, on this Ides of June 2022. Simon Applebaum with you live from Nueva York. We're live on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. We're also available on podcasts on various sites from Spotify, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, as well as our new website, Tomorrow Will Be Televised, with hyphens between the words, .onpodium.com. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name is Bill of Cable, is doing. We'll have another episode, our third of the week, coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, so be sure to join us. And by the way, we'll have two more episodes for you next Monday and Friday. And in the meantime, if you're new to our show, you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to that homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our episode is available 24/7 there, as well as tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. And if you like, excuse me, just got my tongue untied there a little bit, had to get it untied. If, by the way, you have a question about television or a question about our guest or yours truly, put in the room down at the bottom of the On Podium screen, home screen, and if we use suggestion, of course, we'll give you the credit. So be sure to use our website. It's a great way to let us know what you think about our shows, and we do take what you say seriously because what you say matters. Jen, in terms of these channels, how do you put the context in? Do you have correspondents who go to these various places to sort of provide more context? How do you make sure that people really get the full picture of what these people are doing?
I mean, right now we do different things. So sometimes we'll just be using the content that they've created, and, you know, we speak to them and ask them if we can use their content. And then with Mike's history of television, he's able to really take their pieces and their content and create the shows to make it fit for our channels. We also interview and contact the different people that we're interested in using their content, or we want to interview them, and we ask them lots of questions. We really get a inside look there into their lives or what their purpose is, what their content is about, and what their cause is. And so really doing a mix of things, finding what they've already created and making it ready for the television, ready to be aired, and then also interviewing them and asking those questions that maybe we weren't answered watching their content. And I think that's my favorite piece, is the interview, where we can really learn more of what we know we want to know and what we think the viewers would want to know. But they're really great at creating their content too. So it's I think it's a good mix of their voice and then us bringing their voices out and asking them questions by doing interviews.
Michael, where can people, on what smart TV sets, devices, bundles, can people see your services? And all these services, by the way, are ad-supported. So obviously, the question is, how are you doing in terms of having advertisers aboard?
Yeah, so we have a lot of partners that are helping us out with our commercial and sponsorship setup, and that has worked really well for us. And it's a lot of – we're on Local Now, Local BTV, and a Hero Go TV, and TCL, and a few others. So we're continuing to grow. We want to be on as many as possible so we could have a strong reach to get these people's voices out.
And we're always looking for more advertisers. You know, we would really love to dive into more of – you know, we have all these voices that we're sharing, from doctors and medicine to firefighters to teachers and police. And we know that those frontliners are using so many different resources and products. And that's where we would really love to help also get some advertisers that are working with these frontliners, that help these frontliners do their job and do help us and save us every day. And that's where we're definitely looking for more advertisers in that realm too. We'd love to get them so to become a real good partnership with not just our content, but, you know, to also help those people, they, you know, to represent what they're using. It would be great to also get the advertisers who they're using all those products to, you know, have this good team.
You mentioned a few moments ago that you're doing outreach as well, whether it is a Q code on the program so people can then be transferred to a website that involves these particular organizations. Have any advertisers stepped up and said, I'd like to not only run commercial messages on these services, I'll do an outreach with you. I will work with this first responder agency or this hospital or this community service and give them more exposure?
Yeah, so we do the QR codes, and, you know, that's really our goal is to get these people more exposure and raise money for them and help them raise money. And no, we haven't had any yet. I mean, talk about one of our main goals is that's our point, is to really connect people and have people help supporting the frontliners and the nurses, the doctors.
Donating.
And donating, you know, helping donate to them or just getting, having other people give them more exposure in addition to the exposure we get. We haven't had any yet, but we are welcoming all advertisers to help. And, you know, I mean, it's given back, and they've given so much to us. We want to give back, and trying to find other supporters and other advertisers that are willing to give back. I mean, how perfect would that be? And we're always looking for those supporters. I mean, we've just begun our journey, so I'm hoping that we find more and definitely some people who step up. But yeah, we are welcoming all, and I mean, that's what we're here for, is to really, yes, we love having our business, but we want to help others and really give them that support and, you know, feedback and financial support too. I know we are willing to donate our proceeds, you know, some of our proceeds to all of these people who are helping us and giving us their content. We love businesses to also help donate to these valuable sources.
Michael, the people that you showcase, the organizations that you showcase on these five channels, what do they appreciate the most based on their feedback to both of you?
The biggest thing is just the free exposure, to be honest. And then, you know, they like our message and they want to be a part of it. And that's great when you hear, you know, big organizations that talk to us, like St. Jude's, Feeding America, Fisher House, all want to, you know, put their content on our channel and work with us. And, you know, we've done interviews with the Navy SEAL Foundation and Military Order of the Purple Heart. So there's a lot of organizations that realize that what we're doing is vital to get their message out. And, you know, we're different from local news. We don't have a time limit. We're not live, so you can really get a hold and get your story out there. And I think that's helping because people just want to be, you know, listened to, and that's what we're going to do.
Is there a possibility that maybe down the road you might do live coverage of, let's say, an event? You know, we've got PBS coming up 4th of July with their annual Capital Fourth special, which for the first time in several years since the pandemic, will be back in Washington, D.C. live. You have people do Memorial Day programming or Veterans Day programming and so forth. What is the possibility that down the road you might do live specials, either of parades or maybe inside views of an organization, things like that?
Yeah, I think in the moment stuff, that would be great because I was a longtime director, so I love the live moments that parades do. But my ultimate goal is to create a telethon, kind of like way back I used to work for local stations to do the Jerry Lewis telethon. I would love to do that, help organizations, you know, go for 24 hours straight. So, yes, live event-wise, we definitely want to do.
Yes, even when it comes to, you know, we've looked into different organizations and how they have their special awards where they're recognizing these first responders and, you know, doing things like that. We would love to be involved in some live events, some special celebrations, parades, Memorial Day celebrations, you know, lots of different things we would love to be able to do. And so that's really kind of, you know, in our down the road and some, you know, events that are happening, especially now that the world is getting back to normal. You know, I mean, when we first started this, we were still in the winter time when things were questionable. So now that things are really becoming where people are gathering for events and getting together, definitely that's on our plate for content on the channel.
You're hearing Michael and Jen and Zeta. They are the folks behind Fazetta Media, which is doing five special 24/7 services. They are ad supported. They're running on smart TV sets, smart TV vitals, and multi-channel bundles like Local Now from Byron Allen that's available all over the place. They're with us live from Manassas, Virginia this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And if you have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with them, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in the next half hour, if you are an Iron Chef fan, be on board because we've got the executive producers of the brand new Iron Chef version, Quest for an Iron Legend, that premiered earlier today on Netflix, available on all smart TV sets and services. Eitan Keller and Daniel Kalin will join us live from Los Angeles in our next half hour, and I promise you, whether you're an Iron Chef fan or not, I think you'll be very interested in what they've done to supersize this very popular long-running series, one of the really genre busters, if you will, in the area of food television. Michael, in terms of the zoo programming, what kind of reaction are you getting from zoos around the country?
Yeah, we're getting some positive reactions from that because, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, Animal Planet that just focus on one specific zoo or one specific person. So we're using their live content that, you know, is, and then we package it as a piece or package their 1 minute hits as a show as well. And they're getting a lot of exposure that way. I've noticed looking at data that a lot of people want to see these zoo animals videos. So getting those organizations, because they are mainly nonprofits or government agencies, to get more eyeballs is important. And we are also working with a person, Clay, who's at the Abilene Zoo. He has his own show, The Wild Side with Clay, and we air that show on our channel. And he's very enthusiastic about all the animals. And programs like that, we continue want to collaborate with zoos and create programs with the people, you know, in the trenches, if you will.
Yeah, and it's not only about, you know, the major zoos. We really do like finding those smaller ones, the ones that don't get as much airplay. You know, you have things about the San Diego Zoo and such, but we also like finding the smaller zoos and really giving them some, you know, some time on air to share what they're doing and how they're helping the animals and helping with conservation matters and things.
Mm. You know, back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, we had a lot of shows zoos that participated in or dealt with animals, like Mutual Bomo's Wild Kingdom, Wild Wild World of Animals, Animal World of Bill Burr did. Any thoughts about trying to get past episodes or library episodes of those shows to fill out the schedule on the Zoo Channel?
We're always interested in new content. So, yeah, if we will always research and look into new shows to do and all that. And, you know, television is, you know, my favorite medium. So anything, you know, from the history of it would be awesome.
So you hinted earlier that you would like to, you're not stopping at five services. You'd like to do more. How do you want to expand what you're doing?
Well, my thing is I want to, you know, eventually go with, you know, something similar to DigiNets and next-gen ATSC 3.0. So I would like to, you know, eventually have these all regional and similar to the format that ION has done. So, you know, and then keep looking at data and see what people want more and more of, and we'll continue to do that. So I'm very excited. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, and one channel, like we always talk about from my educational background, is that, you know, giving even some teachers or the field of education in general, whether it be colleges or high schools, elementary even, just kind of giving them a chance to focus and learn more about that field too. So that would always be maybe something down the, you know, when we're thinking of new channels and new content, you know, maybe being more specific. We had broken down from frontliners into our Valor and our, you know, our health. So now trying to maybe expand on to some more of those people who give back, looking at more of those fields too, the ones that maybe aren't, that we don't have currently, but still are there present day-to-day helping others.
At the moment, Bozzetta Media has five channels that are available on multi-channel bundles like Local Now and also on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. The channels, again, are Valor TV, Health 24/7, Zoo Animal Antics, DispatchNet, and Frontliners TV. So check your local listings for what multi-channel bundles or smart TV sets and devices have these services, any or all, with others hopefully soon on the way, and they are ad-supported. And if you'd like to know more about what our entrepreneur team is doing, here's where you go online, PizzettaMedia.com. It's P-I-Z-E-T-T-A, media.com. Michael, Jen, Benzetta, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on the success you're already having with these services and hopefully much, much more down the road. And please say thank you to all the first responders, emergency personnel, soldiers, et cetera, that you deal with for their service, both current, both past and ongoing, as we try to get to the next normal of life in these United States and around the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we are so grateful, not only and take us out of this position of media. We were grateful for them before we started these channels. We're grateful for them now. We're so lucky to have them as part of our collaborators to make these channels. We can't wait to work with more of them, to find more stories, to learn more about all of them, from military to medical to, you know, police and firefighters. You know, they're our bread and butter of our life. You know, we take them for granted every day. Many people do, and we really want to give them their voice, give them their time to shine, and we'd love to work with more people, and we'd love to work with sponsors who help us share these people's stories. So we're grateful for all that they've done, that they continue to do for us, and hopefully working with more of them and able to give them their time to shine even greater than they do.
Thank you, Jen and Michael. Thanks again for joining us. Take care. All the greatest.
Yes. Thank you for having us. We loved it.
It's a pleasure. Us too. Take care. Michael and Jen Benzetta joining us live from Manassas, Virginia. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. And once again, if you want to find out more about all the channels they're doing, go to BenzettaMedia.com. More Tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a very unique audio experience, try this interesting audiobook by Colleen Hoover called Verity. It's an unusual tale with mystery, with suspense, and a whole lot of surprises around every corner. And you can get Verity or an audiobook that you want to get right now by having a one-month trial with Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you list them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, over our podcast sites, and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.onpodium.com. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, the one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and health and wellness information that's very vital to you while the supply lasts. Plus, if you're already an Amazon Prime customer, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one. One of those books from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway or Broadway Regal Theater, one woman, one man shows, and a whole lot more. So for all the details, go to audiblechild.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. In our next half hour, Iron Chef is back on Netflix, and we've got the executive producers responsible, an exclusive same-day interview with Aeon Keller and Daniel Kalin, the both live from Los Angeles, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, streamer.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Underground Sound. Chris Rich is the guest on tomorrow's episode of Underground Sound, and that's happening tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Eyes of June afternoon. That's June 15, 2022. Simon Abbott with you live from New Weather, New York, 77 degrees, top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for our guest upcoming in the next 30 minutes, give us a call. Number you use, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up for the top of the hour, brand new classic trivia question and two prizes now in play. So stay tuned for that. In the mid-1990s, an organization called Fuji Television Japan decided to do something really special and take the whole idea of gastronomic television to a whole new level. Give it a lot of pageantry, give it a lot of sport, and they called it Iron Chef. The show ran for several seasons there, over 300 episodes. Then it came to the United States in reruns, first on local TV stations that featured Japanese programming or programming from Asia, Latino countries, etc. And then it got on Food and Cooking Channel at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, where it became a huge cult hit. Then came Iron Chef America, and Sunday nights were never the same for Food Network or for people who love very unique food television. And now, for the first time in several years, Iron Chef is back under the new title, Quest for an Iron Legend, with host Alton Brown, Mark as the chairman, Ali Kazin, the slogan, and the most wildest secret ingredients you have ever seen. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive, the executive producers of Iron Chef, new version that starts today on Netflix, Eitan Keller and Daniel Kalin. Eitan, Daniel, congratulations and thanks for making us part of your opening day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Simon.
It's our pleasure to be with you.
It is a pleasure. Eitan, we'll start with you. What's it been like, because you guided Iron Chef America for most of its run on Food Network and its spinoffs too. What's it like for you to be back in the Iron Chef game and see it come to life again?
Well, you know what? I think it is not just – I'm going to be expressing a feeling that I'm not the only person that has this. It is a true pleasure to be able to be associated with such an iconic franchise in the food world. And for the 13 seasons that it was on Food Network, it was spectacular. Netflix gave us an opportunity to reimagine it and make it feel more contemporary, add new elements to it. Alton has a co-host, Kristen Kish, which changes and enriches the narrative of the show. We've added a lot more fun. You get to meet and know not just the Iron Chefs a bit more, but the challengers as well. And we've supersized Kitchen Stadium, which has always been a character in this show. And instead of just an altar, which was amazing in the beginning, we now have the secret ingredient chamber, which opens up and reveals a whole new world of secret ingredients on every episode.
And Daniel, those secret ingredients, if you think they were secret and wild in the initial run, if you haven't seen the trailer, let me put it this way. Those secret ingredients have been supersized to the max.
Yeah, no question about that. You know, we're really excited to share these new secret ingredients with the world, and you know, it's quite an interesting process aligning on what those ingredients are. Obviously, we want to select ingredients for these chefs to work with that are dynamic and exciting and relatable, and ingredients that you won't necessarily see featured on other shows, because we want people to tune in to watch Iron Chef and experience something that we know no other cooking competition can offer. And I feel proud and honored to have been a part of that, and I think we've done it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Tim, when did the reimagining start? How did Netflix get involved? And what were you thinking about in terms of, was this an opportunity for you to sort of look back and say, you know what, I wish we could have done this on Iron Chef America or that on Iron Chef America, and now we have the opportunity to, in its contemporary version, to make that happen?
Well, the opportunity presented itself a few years ago when Food Network decided that they wanted to go in a different direction and focus on some of the other shows that they had developed in-house. And I was able to, through my relationship with Fuji, acquire the international rights to the format. And I had to pitch them on what the vision was going to be. And I went out and presented it to a number of different platforms, both broadcast and streamers. And I felt after the meeting that we had at Netflix that they really understood and got what this next iteration of Iron Chef could be and should be. And there wasn't any question in my mind that this was going to be the new home for Iron Chef.
Daniel, talk about the effort to pick a new generation of Iron Chefs and a new generation of challengers for them, because people were accustomed, by the time Iron Chef went off the air on Food Network, you know, Bobby Flay and Jose Garces and Kat Cora, Morimoto, et cetera, et cetera. They had become sort of household names.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to – look, all of our efforts were about honoring the original, but really leaning into a new face for Iron Chef and for Netflix. And with that, you know, we wanted to select a group of Iron Chefs and challengers that collectively felt more global, perhaps, than they did in the past. We're obviously quite diverse and brought different points of view, both culinarily in terms of the food that they were going to prepare, but also as humans. You know, this series, I think more so than past iterations, really leans into the human stories a little more, and you get to know our Iron Chefs on a much deeper level.
For both of you, what makes an Iron Chef an Iron Chef?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think it is a combination of skill and artistry and passion and dedication and a way of being able to be spontaneous in the moment when that secret ingredient is revealed, and to be able to look at it and immediately with their team decide what five dishes or variations on that secret ingredient they are going to make. And really, there are not a lot of chefs that are able to take that kind of challenge, and I would say risk, to be able to step into Kitchen Stadium and in an hour. And we never stopped for anything. And when it was on Food Network, we never stopped. Even if an oven went out or a fryer went out, they had to figure out what alternate use of heat they were going to apply to that ingredient in order to complete their five dishes. So it's a really unique set of skills, but then the ability to apply them in a real pressure cooker, no pun intended, situation. And I just want to expand on what Daniel just said. The show, one of the things that differentiates Iron Chef from other cooking competitions is that it's sports meets food. And there is a quirkiness to it. There's an over-the-top nature to it that the chairman brings to this show. We retained a lot of the familiar elements that people loved about the show that worked, and there was no reason to change those. We enhanced other elements, and I think when people watch the show, it will feel like an old friend, but with a fresh, more modern, and fun, increased play-along aspect that they'll find really, really enjoyable.
You are hearing Eitan Keller and Daniel Kalin. They're the executive producers of the new version of Iron Chef, Quest for an Iron Legend, that began today on Netflix, available on all smart TV sets and smart devices. They're joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour in a same-day inter-radio exclusive here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy, I'm with you live from New York, the other side of the U.S. of A., where it is 77 degrees at this point in the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make that phone call, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Both are just waiting for you to interact. And coming up before the top of the hour, classic trivia question. We've got a new question for you making its premiere today and two prizes in play, which could be yours if you're first with the correct answer. On after the top of the hour, I'll have some thoughts about the Tony Awards. I mentioned this on Monday's show when we brought you the news about the Tony ratings. How can the Tony Awards get on the national track and boost its appeal? I got an idea. See what you think, and I'd love to hear from you. You can use the phone or use the chat room and weigh in on the subject. That's coming up after the top of the hour. Daniel, what's it been like to work with Alton? I had a chance to meet him when Iron Chef was in its initial production, Iron Chef America, and here in New York. And he just comes across as somebody who seems to be always up for the event. He's in control. He's so knowledgeable. He's a super host. He has shown it not only in Iron Chef, but one of my favorite all-time food shows, Cutthroat Kitchen. Hint, hint, maybe Netflix should revive that one too. The Truth and Consequences of Food Television. What's it been like working with him and bringing Mark back on as the chairman?
A dream come true to work with both. To start with Alton, you know, I remember the first phone call I had with Alton and Eitan, the three of us together. It was truly a pinch me moment in my life. You know, I grew up loving the Japanese and American original versions of Iron Chef, and I'm a huge Alton Brown fan, and everything you said, Simon, is absolutely on the money. He is gracious and generous and quite possibly the most knowledgeable person I have ever met when it comes to food. He is a walking encyclopedia. As a host, he is the ultimate professional. He shows up and he is he's on the button constantly, knows what to do. As a showrunner, he is just a dream to work with, and he loves this franchise so much, and it shows. You know, every day he is in it, and you know, with the introduction of Kristen Kish, our other host, you know, he and she formed just such an infectious dynamic right away from the beginning of show one, and that relationship just grows through our eight episodes, and it was just so wonderful to watch the two of them together. And Mark DeCascos, the chairman, also just a dream to work with, a wonderful, wonderful performer, an incredible martial artist, and as Eitan said before, it was really important to us to retain a lot of the spirit that fans of the original love so much, and Mark is so at the core of that spirit, that camp, that fun that people love about Iron Chef. So it was so fun to not just bring him back, but to find unique ways to amplify that spirit through Mark. Both of them, Kristen, Nilou, Andrew, everybody across the board, just a dream to work with.
I want to add one more point about...
One thing I always admired about Alton was that, you know, because the competition is an hour, there's no time out for him. Once that competition, you know, Ali Kazin, the competition starts until it's over, he has to be, you know, at that podium, no matter how you edited the shows, he always had to be there, you know, describing the action. And I'm assuming same thing here. I mean, he just had that great gift of gab and the great gift of a sportscaster, which is to really describe the action, describe it on the spot, and do it in such a way that, you know, we, the viewers, could understand it.
Yes, that
it's
is
unique.
True.
Go ahead, Eitan.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're absolutely right. In the initial version of the show, he did play-by-play and color. And I think those that admired that, and from the sound of it, you were one of those admirers, when you see him in this version of the show, you will see a new side of Allison because he has Kristen to play off of, and you'll see more of a sense of humor. He has a chance to give you that devilish wink and play in the moment more, because the full responsibility of doing both the play-by-play and the color is now shared, and he has Kristen, who's just terrific, an accomplished chef and an enthusiast, to craft a new way to do the culinary narrative and the storytelling, which we enhanced in these versions. So I think people will come to the show and want to watch what they do together and how they navigate the hour, which is nonstop. It's a live event, which is also very different than any other competition show. We start, we run for the hour, and whatever happens at the end, when those chefs bring out those amazing works of art, you just can't but marvel at what they are able to accomplish. And both Alton and Kristen do a terrific job in helping the viewers navigate through what is happening and also lend a perspective and explain the importance of what they're seeing. So it's not just a shotgun approach to naming ingredients and talking about process, but what are the important things that are happening? What are the decisions that these chefs are making, and how are these dishes going to come out at the end?
And I think, just to add to that, I think part of what...
Go ahead.
I was just going to add one thing to what Eitan had said. I think part of what Kristen also brings to the dynamic of Alton and Kristen at the podium is she knows what it's like to compete at that level. She has been on the floor in other competitions, and she herself is a very accomplished chef. So she understands the decisions being made from a different perspective, and she is able to provide that sort of background and help contextualize why some of these decisions are being made in the moment with Alton.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's
and
a very good
also,
point.
And also, Eitan, does Kristen also serve not only as a co-host, but also as the in-stadium reporter? Because you had in the original episode, you had this reporter that came out and would talk to the chefs or would give us, like, here's how they're using the ingredient in X dish, Y dish, and so on and so forth.
Yes. So in the earlier iteration, you're absolutely right. It was informational only. In this case, you have the co-host that is in the moment with these chefs, understanding and empathizing with them as they're struggling to complete their dishes in the hour. And I think it is far more interesting to see, and you gain a much deeper appreciation for what is happening. And I think another important thing to keep in mind when you watch the show, it's really two stories that are an expression of degrees of excellence. It is not a show that is focused on success and failure. There's no walk of shame. The judges aren't demeaning or trying to find a mistake that these chefs made. It's really celebrating what they've done. And as things always happen in life, somebody has a better day, and then they succeed. But it's not that the other chef, either Iron Chef or Challenger, has failed. And I think that lends a very different spirit to the show and to the competition.
Mm-hmm. And at the end, my understanding is that one of the Challenger chefs is going to face all five Iron Chefs. Now, how will that work? Will each Iron Chef do a particular dish, or they all collaborate on it? How does that work out?
So, yes, on the finale, each Iron Chef will make a single dish, and the Challenger with the Challenger and the team will make five individual dishes.
For both of you, in some of the iterations of Fire and Chip America, there was the special chairman's challenge where sort of midway or more than midway through the competition, there was a sort of curveball that was introduced. And so the both Iron Chef and Challenger received extra points for the way they did that. Is that coming back, or are there other sort of unique twists that we'll see in the course of the episodes?
Daniel, go ahead and take that.
Yeah, I think that I think there are some new twists. I don't want to show our hands too much, but there are some unique exhibition style battles and twists and turns along the way. You know, we always loved the chairman's twist in previous iterations, but we wanted to introduce some new unexpected turns. So we'll leave that to everyone to discover on their own.
By the way, where did you take Kitchen Stadium? Where did you end up doing it? Of course, Iron Chef America was done here in New York for most of its run. Where did you find Kitchen Stadium, and how fast were you able to assemble it in the studio?
We reimagined Kitchen Stadium in Los Angeles at studios here, two giant studios, and it we always thought it was miraculous that we were able to shoot such an event-style show on the sixth floor in Chelsea Market and make it look enormous, larger than it actually was in the real world. In this case, audiences will see a very large kitchen stadium, really supersized, that is pretty spectacular.
By the way, when I saw the trailer, I saw the way that you open up the door. I wonder if Let's Make a Deal was an inspiration. You know, the door number 1, 2, 3, because you have that door open up to show the secret ingredient. And I'm wondering, I was thinking like, oh my goodness, Tiffany Coyne or Carol Merrill is going to stand at the side and, you know, wave the hand and or wave the arm and there's the door. I was wondering if Let's Make a Deal was a little bit of a little bit of an inspiration in terms of the way you introduce the secret ingredient.
No, in this case, Let's Make a Deal was not an inspiration. The idea was that if we were able to literally open the doors of Kitchen Stadium and allow these chefs to go out into the real world and source these ingredients where they actually came from, that would be magical. So within the conceit of the show, that becomes really the portal, so to speak, into the world of the secret ingredient. But Let's Make a Deal was not part of the inspiration.
Well, had to give a guess. It just said that the door opened like a Let's Make a Deal door, you know, big deal a day. So that's what sort of.
Well, Simon, the altar was such an iconic set piece for the original, you know. So the challenge that Eitan and I had was trying to reimagine that in the most dynamic way possible and creating an experience that felt immersive for both the chef and the viewer was where we wanted to take it, and the chamber's where we landed.
Final question for both of you. What do you hope people, whether they have seen Iron Chef before or they're new to this, what do you hope that they ultimately will get out of seeing these chefs, challenger, competitor, Iron Chef alike, doing battle, but doing it in sort of a very respectful and a very creative manner? Because I think creativity has always been one of the heart and souls of what made the show tick for so many years, both the original in Japan and the iterations here in the United States.
Well, I think that the expectation would be really the same feeling that Daniel and I had when we were watching these chefs compete. You have such a sense of wonder and expectation of what they are going to be able to create within that hour that is just going to blow you away. And we have made this show, I think, more accessible in terms of the types of challenges, in terms of the ingredients. Some are elevated, but you don't feel at any moment that it isn't for you, even if you're not a dedicated foodie. So we have not put that element into the storytelling at all, but really aspire to make it as an immersive viewing experience as possible for everyone, and an appreciation for the artistry that they are creating, and understand how difficult it is, and that everything that they're watching happens in real time. There's no manipulation. There are no second takes. No one brings up a final dish from under the counter and puts it up. Nothing is made in advance. And even in the editing of the show, all the dishes that you see at the end of that hour, you have experienced the making of them throughout that hour. So there are no surprises. And that's the attention and the care that we bring to it. So you get as full an experience as if you were there in Kitchen Stadium with these chefs in the moment.
To add to that, I think it's the magic. Like, I don't know that there's another place where you can see chefs at this level working with an ingredient as common as milk, something that most of us have in our refrigerator on a daily basis, and truly leave you awestruck at what they're able to create. So I think the food experience is elevated. The feeling, the electricity, the pace, the drive of the series, it's fun and it's infectious, and fun being just such a key word in the experience that we wanted to create. You know, you'll feel it when you watch it, the dynamic between Kristen and Alton, the chefs, our great judges, our guests, everybody there is there to celebrate food and to celebrate competition, good-spirited competition, and to have a good time. And that's what we want everybody to do, to tune in, to sit back, to really let their curiosity take over and watch these magical dishes unfold over the course of an hour and just have a good time.
Yeah. We boil it all down, 3 C's, creativity, competition, and most importantly, maybe of all the three, celebration. And a lot of people, I'm sure, right now are celebrating the return of Iron Chef, Quest for an Iron Legend. It is now running starting today on Netflix, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices everywhere. By the way, coming up later this year, 2 more versions of Iron Chef. One, Mexico Spanish language, and also Iron Chef Brazil, which I believe will be in Brazilian language, and Netflix will be releasing those versions later this year. For all of them, go to Netflix.com, all the information, and as someone who has loved Iron Chef from the get-go, I think you're in for a marvelous, marvelous treat. It's food television to the max. Great food television. Eitan Keller, Daniel Kalin, thank you both very much for coming on your opening day of this new series. Hopefully today is the beginning of a great, great long run for a show that I think a lot of people are very happy to see back and even better.
Thank you so much, Simon. We appreciate you celebrating the series with us, and thanks for the time.
Thank you, Simon.
It's been a pleasure. My best to Alton, all the crew, Kristen, Mark, everybody involved. It's great to have you all back.
Thank you so much. It was our pleasure.
Same here. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Eitan Keller, Daniel Kalin, joining us live from Los Angeles, Iron Chef, Quest for an Iron Legend, now playing on Netflix. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, brand new question that we're introducing today, and we have 2 prizes in play. One that we are still trying to give away, it's the brand new novel, The Unexpected Danny Green, by recent TWBT guest Paul Friedman, TV executive turned novelist. A lot of people think that may become a series somewhere down the road. And also from Nickelodeon, A Loud House Christmas cards and envelopes. And both prizes will be yours if you know the answer to this question. Remember the TV series T.J. Hooker, William Shatner playing a cop on the beat and also training new recruits with Adrian Zed and Heather Locklear, et cetera, et cetera. Ran 3 seasons in the 1980s on ABC in primetime, then a late night season on CBS. Here's the question. What does TJ of TJ Hooker stand for? What does TJ of TJ Hooker stand for? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you first with the correct answer, you will win both prizes. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so today and all the very best. When we come back, more on the Tony Awards. How can the Tonys rebound from record low ratings and get more of a national profile that it deserves? I have an answer, and I'd like to hear what you think, too. We'll get to that after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, commentune.com. Together, reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Big Blend Radio. It's unlike any radio you hear. This Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, it's Big Blend Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, that's BTR 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised. We're going more than our normal hour today on this Ides of June 2022. Simon, I'm with you live from New Weather York. And you have a question or comment about what I'm about to talk about next, how the Tony Awards can be made more special and give more Broadway theater a more national profile. Well, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. You can also use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find the room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Incidentally, I want to welcome those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. And before we get any further, I want to give a shout-out to one of our frequent callers, Rick Webb from Philadelphia. Today is his birthday. So happy birthday, Rick. Thank you for all the calling over the years. We do appreciate you. Keep on calling. We always love hearing you and your questions and your feedback. So Rick Webb, our frequent caller from Philadelphia, happy B-Day to you. And now, a comment. As I mentioned on Monday's episode in one of our news notes, the Tony Awards had its lowest rating ever on CBS. Less than 3.9 million people saw the Tony Awards Sunday night on CBS. We're not counting Paramount Plus. It was, when you take out and not factor the Tony Awards, which were done at various times, not during June, because of the pandemic here in New York and how it impacted Broadway theater, it was the lowest rated program of its kind on CBS history. And it continues to be of the top award shows, the Academy Awards, Emmys, Grammys, and Tonys, the lowest rated of that foursome. And as I said then, there's a very simple reason why that is the case. It's not a new phenomenon. This is something that's been happening for decades. Why? Because unlike movies, unlike TV series, unlike records, where when a new record, a new movie, a new television series premieres, it's immediate. Everybody in the country has access to it. That is not the case, sadly, with Broadway theater. When a Broadway show opens, it is only available, by and large, to people in the New York metropolitan area and tourists who come in. That's it. It's not available in Chicago at the same time, or Los Angeles, or Oshkosh, Wisconsin, or Fargo, North Dakota, or San Antonio, Texas, or Fort Lauderdale, Florida, et cetera, et cetera. So, for the most part, when the Tony nominations come out, there is no rooting interest, or if so, very little. When Rosie O'Donnell had her syndicated talk show for many years, she was one of the few people on any level in television to give shows, Broadway musicals, Broadway plays, national exposure, especially the ones that were nominated for Tonys. And it was during those years that the Tonys did blip up in the ratings on CBS. But that's not the, and that's not the case now. Basically, you open a Broadway show, it's just New York metro area. That is it. So nobody knows who to root for. Nobody knows who the contenders are. Unless you're a tourist that comes in at some point and sees the show. And the nearly 3.9 million people who saw it, and the numbers did not go up, which, by the way, in 2019, the last time there was a Tony Awards at the regular time in early June, it was like 5.4, 5.5 million, despite a sensational performance by host Ariana DeBose, coming off, of course, the great Oscar win for Best Supporting Actress for West Side Story. She is a force of nature, several forces of nature. She was fantastic from start to finish. Even Ariana's performance and the performances of Tony's, which are always very well done, could not boost the audience. So I'd like to offer a way that both Broadway theater and the Tonys could get a lift, and maybe a lift that could last as long as it can. Because if Broadway does not get off its hump and start showing itself nationally, the Tonys are not going to be on CBS. They're going to be on Paramount Plus and maybe somewhere else if the ratings continue to be low, 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 low. I would suggest. And the suggestion involves Paramount Plus. Here's my suggestion. Immediately, the Broadway theater community and the theater community at large across the country make a deal with Paramount Plus to do a live or tape-delayed premiere of a Broadway show, musical, play, revival, every month or every other month at least. You run it live or a week tape delay or a two-week tape delay at most. And you do it every month or every other month. That way, it can be seen more than once on Mega Content Services, both in its initial run and ongoingly. And Paramount Plus or Netflix or Hulu or Disney could build up a library of performances that could be accessed video on demand or linear at any time around the country. Why not? The technology is there. PBS has shown through Live at Lincoln Center, through Great Performances, through Live from the Met, that you can do performances inside a theater where it will not play havoc with the audience side of a line of sight or the actors. It's unobtrusive, and it works. It can be done, and the technology and the cameras get better and better all the time. They're more flexible. You can do drone cameras, all sorts of great stuff. So I would suggest that it's time for the Broadway theater community to realize that unless they take action, unless they give their shows national attention and stop being so provincial, that these Tony Awards are going to continue to be the afterthought of award show programming. And I could see a day, frankly, that CBS could drop the coverage and just make it either a Paramount Plus show, or if Paramount Plus doesn't get the attention or the ratings, go somewhere else. I would even suggest public television might take it. Let's try something. Let's try this, Broadway theater community. Put a show on every month or every other month at the most. Do it live. I would prefer live with frequent replays throughout the course of a month. Or, at best, a week or two tape delay with the play running in its entirety as if it was a live performance. It's doable. There are people who I'm sure would want to do it, would want to direct it for television. I'm sure that people would love to host the presentation. You can have audience reaction afterward. Really, really terrific. What do you think? I think it's workable. And I think it's high time it be done, especially now when you have so many ways to put a television program on the air. Maybe you could get ad support. Maybe you can get crowdfunding. Maybe you can use NFTs. Maybe you can use blockchain technology. However you make the formula happen, make it happen, Broadway theater community. Make it happen, theater community. You have avenues to do it. So do it. And let's see what results. What do you think out there? What do you think about my suggestion, or do you have one of your own? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Love to hear you. We'll offer thoughts on future episodes. If somebody from the Broadway theater community would like to come on the program, it's Glenn Weiss. We've had director Glenn Weiss on the show. I thought he did a great job with the Tony Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. Love to have him back. Love to see what he thinks. And he'd be great. So as a director, as you know. So let's hear from you. And let's hope that whatever the Broadway theater community adopts, it gets into action and does what it needs to do to give the Tony Awards and the plays and musicals and revivals up for it, the national respect and attention it more than deserves. And in the meantime, wherever you are from around the country, around the world, come on down and see a Broadway theater. Come down and see a Broadway show. They want to, as Arianna said, they're out there, and there's a great season coming this fall and next year, so come on down. The Broadway theater community would love to have you, and they'd love to have your support, and they'd love to have your applause, applause, applause. All right, before we go, let's give you that classic trivia question one more time. For those of you that just joined us at the top of the hour, here's the question. What does TJ in TJ Hooker, that's the William Shatner cop John, was on ABC for three seasons in the 1980s, in primetime, then went a season late night on CBS. What does TJ in TJ Hooker stand for? If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the brand new novel, The Unexpected Danny Green, by author and recent TWBT guest Paul Friedman, and a wonderful selection of Loud House Christmas envelopes and cards, courtesy of Nickelodeon. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win both prizes. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, get out there and play in. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You do it. And, of course, all the very best. I want to thank our dynamic pair of duos for being with us this day on Tomorrow Be Televised. Thank all of you for tuning in. We'll be back with our third of three live episodes this week on Friday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Stay with us on Facebook and Twitter. We'll let you know who our guests are before we go on the air that Friday. And in the meantime, if you want to catch up on recent episodes, or you came in late on today's program, today was great with the dynamic duo from the five wonderful services involving frontline workers for Zeta Media, and our dynamic duo, executive producing Iron Chef, which started today on Netflix. The Quest for an Ireland, love that title. Here's what you do. You go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised/televised. Check out our podcast versions. They're available soon on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, on Spotify, on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. Also on iTunes, also available through Amazon Music on Vizio Smart TV set. We're on the Apple TV device as well, and Spreaker Podcast and TuneIn.com as well. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our program today? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question every week. And also in our regular feature is Show to Know. We will do a Show to Know on Friday's episode. Is there a TV series you like that doesn't get enough attention? If you email me and we use your suggestion on the air, we give you the credit for it. Simple as that. So use that email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. LinkedIn and Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBG. And don't forget, you can also communicate with me on our wonderful website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. Go to the bottom of the home screen. If you have a question about television, any of our guests want to pose a comment, want to email me with a question about yours truly, put it there. I'll get it. And we use your question on the air. You, of course, get the credit. However you communicate with us, we do respond to you within 24 hours. Why? As we always say around here, what you say matters, now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Till is BTR's General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg, Head of Content. The website service is provided by On Podium, the Internet's new podcast outpost. That's podcast outpost. There we go, I got the tongue untied there. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love anytime, any day. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your week. We're back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, all of our podcast affiliates, and our website. Whatever you're doing between now and Friday, please make it safe and great. Again, Rick Webb, our wonderful caller from Philadelphia, happy B-Day to you, and hope you are celebrating this wonderful B-Day and beyond in great shape. And if you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check your medical situation, find out of all the alternative treatments available to you, including the Pfizer and Merck drug. They're available without prescription at pharmacies near you, and in many cases, for free. And then make a choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.